Imagine if the most powerful marketing tool in your business wasn't your website or, your social media presence or your ad budget, but instead it was your internal IT security checklist.
I mean, that sounds completely backward, right?
It really does. But today we are digging into this internal 2026 strategy playbook from an IT firm called Technigian, and it's got this super dry title, MFA for Patient Data: How OC Healthcare Practices Protect Access in 2026.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a manual you'd just leave sitting on a desk somewhere.
Exactly. But our mission for this deep dive is to figure out how modern businesses are completely flipping the script on cybersecurity. Like, they aren't just treating it as a defensive shield anymore.
Right, it's not just about compliance.
No, they are using internal IT security as this secret weapon for search visibility, lead generation, and most importantly, building trust with you, the customer.
It's a massive paradigm shift. We're moving away from looking at security as just a cost-centered, a necessary evil you pay for to avoid getting sued.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're looking at it as a core driver of business growth. But to understand how a security protocol actually drives revenue, we have to look closely at this playbook's underlying logic.
Okay, let's unpack this because before we can get into the high-level strategy of, using security for marketing, we have to establish what is actually going wrong in these healthcare offices right now.
The baseline.
Right. We have to look at the current state of things.
Yeah.
And the source material lists out these critical warning signs in a practice. So, shared logins, weak passwords, exposed email accounts, and remote access that relies on just a single credential.
Yeah.
The document stresses that these are massive red flags indicating that a business is relying on basically human memory and manual effort.
Which is an incredibly fragile foundation for any business,
Okay.
especially one handling sensitive medical records.
Oh, for sure.
And the document is very clear that most organizations out there, they don't struggle because they lack the right tools. I mean, we have the technology.
Yeah.
The problem is how that technology is being abused on the ground.
Right. And to me, when I read shared logins, I picture this busy, high-stress Orange County medical clinic. The phones are ringing, patients are waiting in the lobby.
Total chaos.
Exactly. Having a shared login is essentially like taking a master key to the front door, the filing cabinets, the pharmacy closet, making 50 copies of it, and just handing one to every single employee,
Yeah,
from the head surgeon to like the temp receptionist who started on Tuesday.
that's a great way to put it.
So I get why that master key scenario is a nightmare for security. That's obvious. If data is breached, you have zero visibility into whose key was used.
Right.
But I want to push back on something the Technigian document claims here. It goes a step further and says these bad login practices actually weaken conversion.
Yeah, they do.
I have to admit, I'm struggling with the leap from a bad password to a lost customer. How does a weak password slow down business and stop a potential patient from booking an appointment?
Well, what's fascinating here is the mechanism of what they call operational drag.
Operational drag.
Yeah. It's this invisible friction that inevitably bleeds into the customer experience. Let's look at the logic the source lays out with a concrete scenario.
Okay.
When a business relies on shared logins and weak passwords, the systems inevitably break down. Someone changes the shared password for security reasons, but
But they forget to tell the rest of the team.
exactly. Suddenly, at 9 a.m. on a Monday, the front desk is locked out of the patient portal.
So instead of checking people in, they're shouting across the office like, "Hey, did someone change the password to the scheduling software?"
Right. And while they are scrambling to reset that password or calling IT, you, the customer, are experiencing the fallout. You notice the slow answers. You notice the disorganized digital experience. The document points out the prospects evaluating a clinic, they pick up on these unclear trust signals.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If a clinic cannot smoothly manage its own internal access to basic software, how can they guarantee the safety of highly sensitive medical data? That loss of operational trust translates directly into a lost lead. The prospect simply clicks away and finds another doctor.
I see. So the patient doesn't necessarily know that you have a shared password on a sticky note under a keyboard somewhere.
No, they don't see the sticky note.
But they absolutely feel the chaos that the shared password creates.
Precisely. Unmanaged access creates friction. And, in a competitive market, customers expect reliable systems and fast answers.
Yeah.
If your internal workflow is a mess, your external conversion rate suffers.
That makes a lot of sense. So we've established the hidden business cost of bad logins. It's not just a breach risk, it is an actual revenue leak.
Exactly.
But if I'm a clinic manager, I'm terrified to touch the IT systems, because if they go down during an upgrade, we lose thousands of dollars a day in appointments.
Of course.
How on earth does this document justify the risk of ripping out old login systems without just paralyzing daily operations?
Well, that fear of disruption is exactly why the playbook outlines a very specific three-phase implementation roadmap. The entire philosophy here is controlled incremental change.
Right. Phase one is what they call the narrow rollout. The instruction is to make the first phase narrow enough to actually complete, but important enough to matter.
Yeah.
Instead of securing every smart light bulb in the office, you target multi-factor authentication, MFA, specifically for email, remote access, cloud apps, admin accounts, and systems touching patient data.
You have to prioritize.
It reminds me of triage in a hospital emergency room. You have to secure the ICU first, the critical patient data, before you start worrying about the magazines in the waiting room.
That is a perfect analogy. Action over theory. Get the most critical assets secured behind MFA first and leave the lower risk systems for later.
I hear that, but practically speaking, asking a stressed out front desk worker to take 3 extra steps to log into their email feels like it's going to cause a mutiny.
Oh, absolutely.
How do they actually enforce that without slowing down the clinic even more?
That's where the technology has evolved, and the document touches on this. Modern MFA isn't just about typing in a 6-digit code from a text message every single time you click a button.
Oh, thank goodness.
Right. It involves push notifications, biometric approvals on a phone, single sign-on integrations.
Nice.
Once that initial secure authentication happens at the start of the shift, the employee actually has smoother, faster access to their tools for the rest of the day.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. The short-term friction of learning a new login process is heavily outweighed by the long-term elimination of that operational drag we talked about.
Okay, so the staff gets used to the new system. Then we hit phase two, which is measurement.
Yes.
And this is where the playbook really threw me for a loop. It says you must define what will be tracked, how often it's reviewed, and who responds if the metric tanks.
Standard operational procedure.
Right, but the metrics they suggest tracking are not your typical IT stats. They aren't just looking at, you know, number of blocked logins.
No, they're looking wider.
They are measuring response time to patients, fewer support tickets, cleaner operational reporting, and conversion rates. Wait.
Yeah.
If I'm an IT guy, why am I looking at conversion rates and search visibility after installing MFA?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, this is where the genius of this specific document really shines.
Oh.
You have to remember the context of this playbook. This entire internal document is actually part of a larger June 2026 SEO plan.
Oh, wow.
Specifically, it mentions week 18, which is entirely dedicated to conversion optimization.
An IT firm is tying a highly technical back-end security implementation directly to an SEO and marketing plan.
Yes.
I mean, if you are listening to this and you're not an IT expert, you're probably wondering why an IT firm cares about SEO. I was wondering the exact same thing.
It's not obvious at first.
And more importantly, how does a back-end security log actually become front-end content without violating IP or like giving hackers a blueprint to your systems?
That is the critical question. How do you translate internal discipline into external trust? The mechanism works like this. You don't publish your passwords, and you don't publish your network architecture.
That would be bad.
Very bad. What you publish is your adherence to rigorous frameworks. The playbook explicitly mentions grounding the work in established external standards.
Like what?
2 major ones they cite are the CISAGATS, that's the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, the U.S. government's top cybersecurity authority.
Okay.
And the HHS HEAP security rule guidance, which comes from the Department of Health and Human Services.
So they aren't just making up their own internal rules and asking the patient to trust them. They're aligning with federal standards.
Exactly. And once that technical back-end work is done, the clinic creates deeply detailed localized content for their website around topics like HIPAA MFA controls and healthcare identity security.
Mm-hmm.
A strong web page doesn't just broadly say, we take your security seriously, which is, you know, a meaningless platitude every business uses.
Yeah, everyone says that.
Right. A strong web page says, here's exactly how our managed MFA protocols comply with CISA guidelines to ensure your records are never exposed.
I see the mechanism now. Search engines crawl that web page. They see the specific technical depth. They see the alignment with federal CISA and HHS standards, and they register a massive trust signal.
Yes, they recognize topical authority.
And that directly boosts the clinic search rankings for highly specific long-tail keywords like MFA Healthcare Orange County.
Precisely. And when an evaluating prospect, maybe a highly informed patient or a B2B partner looking for a secure clinic, clicks on that page, they see a business that fundamentally has its act together.
Wow.
It guides their decision path. The back-end security upgrade is the marketing asset.
But to make that work, you can't just write a blog post. You actually have to do the IT work, measure the outcome, and standardize it so the claims on your website are legally and operationally true.
You have to walk the walk.
Which brings us to the third phase of their roadmap, ownership. The document says that once the improvement is live, someone has to own the maintenance, the reporting, the vendor coordination, and future updates.
Yes, because that is how a one-time tech project becomes what they call a repeatable operating habit.
Right.
Implementing the tech is one thing. You can buy the software and flip a switch. Keeping the system alive requires a total shift in business mindset.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the playbook specifically warns against a couple of massive common mistakes that cause these initiatives to fail in the real world.
They definitely do fail.
Yeah. The first trap is treating MFA for patient data as a single task on a to-do list rather than an ongoing operating discipline. They call it the one-and-done trap.
It's a very dangerous trap. You check the box and forget about it. But what happens when you hire new staff next quarter?
Right.
Or when a third-party software vendor changes their access rules? If you treat security as the one-time fix without ongoing ownership, the exact same vulnerabilities just creep right back into the system over time.
The second mistake they highlight is measuring activity instead of measuring outcomes. I see this everywhere, not just in IT.
Oh, it's so common.
The document points out that publishing a web page, buying a new security tool, or holding a planning meeting, those are just activities. To me, publishing a new SEO page feels like an outcome. But the document disagrees.
It disagrees because an activity just proves you spent time and money. It doesn't prove that the time and money were well spent.
Ah.
The outcome question is, did this activity actually lower the number of IT support tickets? Did it measurably reduce unauthorized access attempts? Did it improve the front desk's response time?
Did it make the business easier to manage?
Exactly.
To ensure they avoid these traps and focus on outcomes, the document insists on a very unique internal management style. They mandate pairing two distinct owners to lead the charge. You have one business owner and one technical or marketing owner.
It's a brilliant way to bridge the gap between the boardroom and the server room.
Yeah.
The business owner defines why the project matters to the clinic. They communicate how it protects the patients, ensures compliance, and improves the bottom line.
And the technical owner actually executes the practical steps.
Right.
But I can see the business owner saying, we need to protect revenue at all costs, while the tech owner says, we just need to force everyone to use this authenticator app.
Yep.
How do they actually bridge that gap so the staff adopts the tool?
By aligning the why with the how.
Mm-hmm.
Employees are notoriously resistant to new processes.
Oh, yeah.
But they are far more likely to follow a new security step when leadership clearly explains what that process protects or simplifies for them.
That makes sense.
You don't just mandate an app. You explain that this specific tool is being used to protect our patients' most sensitive data and to ensure you never get locked out of the scheduling system again during a busy morning rush.
It turns a top-down mandate into a shared mission. So we have the roadmap. We have the team alignment with our dual owners. Now we have to talk about the reality of running a business, which means we have to talk about budget.
Always comes back to budget.
Always. How does leadership evaluate the financial side of this, and how do they hold outside IT partners accountable?
Well, the playbook offers a highly structured framework for budgeting. It advises leaders to completely separate urgent fixes from maturity improvements.
Let's break that down. Urgent fixes address the active fires, right? Issues threatening security, uptime, compliance, or the customer experience right now.
Yes.
Removing that shared master key password we talked about earlier would be an urgent fix.
Correct. Those are non-negotiable. Maturity improvements, on the other hand, are the systems that make the business stronger over time.
Okay.
That's your automated reporting, advanced staff training, and governance policies.
But when a manager sits down to figure out the budget for implementing this 2026 MFA strategy, the document insists that the very first question shouldn't be, how much does this software cost?
Mm-hmm.
The first question must be about the cost of inaction.
That is such a powerful framing. What happens if the business leaves this shared password issue unresolved for another quarter?
Yeah.
The cost of inaction isn't just the theoretical threat of a data breach. It is the daily loss of productivity. It is the money spent on IT support tickets for constant password resets.
Wow.
It is the lost conversions from prospects who experience slow response times and go elsewhere. When you frame it as the cost of doing nothing, the prioritization becomes incredibly objective.
It totally shifts the perspective. Okay, so the budget gets approved based on that cost of inaction. The next piece is documentation. So what does this all mean in practice?
Okay.
The playbook is very specific that you need a short record, a verification log, a simple checklist. It needs to detail the current state of your systems, who is responsible, and crucially, the next review date.
And it emphasizes that this documentation doesn't need to be some 100-page manual that sits on a shelf collecting dust.
Right.
It must be practical. When a new manager takes over, they should be able to look at this log and immediately understand what was done and why, without restarting the entire discovery process from scratch.
That's huge.
Documentation is what keeps the work alive across staff turnovers.
Which brings us to the vendors. If you are a healthcare practice, you are likely working with an outside partner like Technigian to support this complex IT work.
Yeah, most do.
The playbook insists on extreme clarity here. Define the deliverables, the response times, the access boundaries. But my absolute favorite part of the vendor section is the demand for plain language reporting.
Oh, it is essential. Leadership should not have to decode dense, jargon-filled technical notes to understand if a project worked.
Exactly.
The reports from the vendor must connect the IT implementation details directly to the business outcomes we discussed earlier.
Right. Like, don't tell me how many gigabytes of data you encrypted. Tell me how this implementation lowered our support tickets and improved our compliance standing with HHS.
This raises an important question, one that the document addresses as its ultimate conclusion. What does success actually look like at the end of the day?
Yeah, how do you know?
How do you know when you've won at cybersecurity?
Well, the document is surprisingly philosophical about this. It states that the strongest signal of success is not perfection. It is controlled progress.
Controlled progress. I love that.
Yeah.
In cybersecurity, perfection is a myth. The landscape of threats is always changing. The goal isn't to build an impenetrable fortress, because that's impossible.
Okay.
The goal is to move MFA from being just a vague idea or a bullet point on a wish list into a fully managed business capability.
A capability with real accountability, visibility, ownership, and measurable follow-through. If your team can sit down and clearly explain what changed in your systems, why it changed, how it aligns with external standards, and what the next step is, then that is success.
Absolutely.
You are in control of your own operational destiny.
It really is a fascinating framework.
It is. So to quickly recap our journey today, we started by looking at the quiet, invisible annoyance of a shared office password. We explored how that operational friction actually bleeds out into the customer experience, weakening trust and lowering conversion rates.
Yeah.
From there, we unpacked a highly specific three-phase roadmap to fix it, starting with a narrow rollout focused on critical data, measuring business outcomes like search visibility, and establishing clear dual ownership to prevent the project from dying out.
We covered a lot.
We did. We looked at the traps of treating security as a one-time task instead of an ongoing discipline. We learned how to budget by looking at the cost of inaction. And most importantly, we uncovered the exact mechanism of how internal IT documentation like MFA logs and CISA compliance can be translated into front-facing SEO assets that drive topical authority and patient trust.
It is a remarkable blueprint for operational maturity.
And I think the big takeaway for you listening to this is that whether you run a massive healthcare practice in Orange County or you're just trying to manage your own digital life and small business, the principle holds true.
Right.
Documenting why and how you secure your data is rapidly becoming just as important as the security itself. It is your ultimate proof of competence.
And that leads to a rather provocative thought to leave you with today.
Let's hear it.
We've seen how back-end IT security practices are already becoming front-facing marketing and SEO assets.
Mm.
If these internal protocols are the new standard for proving trust and driving customer conversion, what happens in the near future?
Mm.
Will we see a day very soon when patients or B2B partners actually demand to see a clinic's internal MFA verification log or their IT ownership chart before they're even willing to book an appointment.
Oh, wow.
As data breaches become more common, will the internal IT security checklist become the new public-facing review score?
That's a wild thought to chew on. The internal systems becoming fully external decision factors. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the hidden world of MFA strategy and business growth. Keep questioning the systems that run your world, keep your password strong, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.